from Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan. He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Canada's morning sports talk show is on the air. I'm your host, and he's the co-host, Darren Dupont. Hi, Dupes.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for coming into the bunker for coffee today. It's a very big day. I'm going to ring the bell right out of the chute. It's episode number 200.
Yes.
I noticed far less pomp and circumstance for episode 200 than 100, where we had streamers and cake and a party.
Yeah.
No parties anymore.
No parties
Is that
anymore.
Why we're not doing anything? Is that why you didn't stop and pick up a cake on the way in?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just didn't feel right.
I get it.
But 200 is a big deal. 200 is a big deal.
Absolutely.
You know what? We'll do something arbitrary when this is done, and we'll celebrate like 242 or something weird.
We're going to try and stay with tradition here for sure. But I do want to acknowledge some of our viewership comments that have come in right off the bat. And it's a really big show today. Some big guests. I'm very much looking forward to today's program. I look forward to it every day, but today's going to be super cool. So hang on. But Donald Mitchell, our good friend Don Mitchell from the Navy, is writing in, and he says, here's the comment from Ottawa. Good morning from sunny Ottawa. Love the hat on top of the helmet. This is from the HMCS Queen Regina, Royal Canadian Naval ship. And so they sent this yesterday. It came in the mail. And thank you, Don, for sending a game-worn hat. Very clearly, this was worn on the ship. Why send a brand new replica hat? Let's send a game-worn one.
No meaning in that new hat.
No, none. This is used. So one thing that I've learned, and I'm telling you, I think about this every day, since I've got the ability to see the Army and the Navy work from the inside, the great things, of course, is their teamwork, their attention to detail. I talk about it all the time. I love it. I wish everybody would the trust that they hold with each other in each other's hands. The other is the rivalry between the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. It's a friendly rivalry, of course.
Yeah.
But you notice that the naval hat is on top of the war helmet.
Yeah.
And we have, coming in later today, my good friend Brad Hersina, retired from the Canadian Armed Forces. He's got some things that he'd like to talk about today. And I said, hey, why the hell not? And we're going to be talking about the safety as it relates to this show, social distancing and so forth, and the precautions that have been put in place here. But I just get a real kick out of the Navy and the Army, how they compete back and forth.
Don't make that mistake either. Oh, you Army guys. Not the Army.
Oh, yeah,
this is the Navy.
Exactly.
Or this, you know.
Very big difference.
Yeah.
People writing in. Robert Anderson says, I'm being a good boy on house arrest in Oakville. So thank you, Robert, for checking in. Stephen Jacobson says, good morning from Minot, North Dakota. Brenda Morrison writes in, says, congrats on 200 shows. Our friend Mike Lee, one of our P1s, checking in, says, congrats on 200. He's watching from Regina. He's an oil man from southern Saskatchewan. So everybody's viewing from today, I appreciate it. And listening, too. You can listen not only live right now at rodpeterson.com/listenlive. That's presented by Suds Regina. But also anytime. It's a 24-hour sports stream. Anytime you click on that link, you're going to get the show live. I'm going to just stop reading the messages. I had it my safety message to be read at the end of my show topics. But maybe we'll get into that next. Other than me saying, here are our guests on the program today. I mentioned Brad Hersina from the Canadian Armed Forces joining us right here in the bunker. But also, Arash Madani from Rogers Sportsnet. He'll be joining us from his home in Toronto regarding Canada pulling out of the Olympics. A lot of talk coming out there, obviously. And Arash was one of the first to offer strong opinions on this. Ryan Leslie from Rogers Flames Television. Sportsnet Flames. Ryan Leslie from his home in Calgary. Literally sitting there with nothing to do. When you turn on your television to watch a Flames game, Ryan's the first guy you see. And he's the one hosting the intermission panels and so forth with Corey Sarich and Rich Sutter and those guys. Ryan Leslie will be with us from Calgary. And coming up shortly, here in Hour 1, Garrick Jones, affectionately regarded, nicknamed the Commish by anybody who played with him, with the Blue Bombers or the Stampeders or the Eskimos or the Houston Texans. Why are we having Garrick Jones on? Well, one, he's a friend. He was on the program. We met him for the first time in Houston when we were there in December on our sports trip, did the live show from close to the Galleria there in Houston. But you understand, What's going on in Houston is a stage five gong show right now, right? Yeah. Like a three ring circus.
I can only imagine just, you know, being there not that long ago in the mall and that whole area and the people. I can just imagine what's happening.
And I'm not talking about the floods or the coronavirus. I'm talking about the Houston Texans. When the world gets back to normalcy here, the Texans are still going to be a dumpster fire. And not only did they trade their franchise receiver, almost franchise face, DeAndre Hopkins, because he had a fight with the coach. Now the quarterback wants out too.
Yeah.
So Garrick Jones, who played for the Texans for I think it was three seasons, he is the president of the NFL Alumni Association Houston chapter. And a guy that everybody loves that knows him, they call him the Commish. My God, he's a big man. He's going to be on here today. He's petitioning to become the next general manager of the Houston Texans. Not joking.
Well, he commands the room.
Yes, he does.
We saw that when he showed up in Houston. And also a guy who's paying attention. You know, you like somebody who pays attention. I mean, he pays attention to this show enough to know to bring a gift when he comes to our set.
Right.
He brought the football for the set, right, for the studio, for the bunker. So a very sharp guy, and he was very pleasant.
Well, yeah. Where's our Rockets bobblehead? Where did that go?
He's over there to your left.
Oh, Westbrook's over there. I thought somebody stole it. No. We're very big in Houston. I don't know why, but we get all these gifts from Houston.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Before I get to my quick six show topics, it took until now for somebody to write into my Facebook and say, I thought we were all supposed to be at home. Why are you guys at work? Over to you. Do you want to handle that as the steward of this show?
Sure. I mean, the first thing is we think it's really important. I think it's really important that we continue to do this show. Clearly, by some of the comments that have come into the show, this 2 hours has been a real break in people's craziness. That is the coronavirus, that is stress, that is money, that is all these things. And so if we can be that escape, I want to do that. You know, I'll speak for you a little bit too, but, you know, correct me if I make any mistakes here, but we're all doing our part in terms of isolating at home. We're not going out to the stores or going out to crowds or doing all these things that we're not supposed to be doing. We come to work and go home. So we would isolate together for the sake of this show, but isolating at home is the same thing. We only see each other. And when we go home, that's all we see. So our circle is very, very small and controlled, and we have that trust. So we're taking every precaution necessary. We've separated ourselves a little bit more. We've increased our hand washing stations.
And the staff. We'll talk about the staff.
Well, they're here as, you know, in a very smaller capacity. And every day we're working harder to you know, more people are working from home. We've really skinnied it down as much as possible. There's no extra people up in the bunker. They're working in separate rooms and not moving around as much. Nobody's sitting in each other's chairs anymore. All of these things that we would normally do, the post-show meetings, the pre-show meetings, don't really happen anymore. We're out the door as soon as this is over. And I'm in here before everybody and try and stay,
well, and another thing,
wiping everything down.
I'm sorry to cut you off. No. I had people have written in me and said, can I come in and watch the show? I'm home on I'm at stay-home orders. They're not self-isolating per se or not quarantining. So we're not letting anybody in here that's not staff. So there's that too. So we're observing all the guidelines, and our technical producer, technical advisor, Ryan, is downstairs, and he has said, if worse comes to worse, we'll do what other networks are doing, and they will be setting up at my house. They've already been to my house to see what the specs are. Mrs. Peterson's not too down with that. We're going to do it.
But this, because, you know, it's a little different because the operation that we have here is smaller.
Right.
And it allows us this flexibility to be able to come in here and provide the show because the bunker becomes an extension of yours and my house. That's essentially what it becomes. You're not coming into a public place. This is very private. Clark and Jordan, while they're separated right now and we have, you know, just the four of us in the whole building, that could go down to just you and I, and it'd be no different than us doing the show at home.
Right, so we're going to move on because people want a break from this talk.
Yes.
Just saying we're operating within the guidelines. We're safe. We're going to keep it that way. And if anybody has a problem with how we're doing things, mind your own business. to the quick six show topics today. I do watch ESPN every day. Somebody, people have asked, what do you think of what the sports networks in Canada are rolling during this? I say, I don't know. I'm not watching. Haven't watched for months. I'm watching ESPN. So 20 hours a day, they're talking about Tom Brady. And I love it because I love Tom. I love the story. So one topic that I will get to today, what does Tom Brady have to prove in 2020, assuming there's a season, which I expect that there will be? What does Tom Brady have to prove? It was pointed out by Molly Queerum, who said Bill Belichick without Tom Brady is 42-58 as a coach. Just putting that out there. It's not going to get you in the playoffs. So by extension of that, to point two, what does Cody Fajardo have to prove? To point three, what does blank have to prove? Insert your guy's name. Because frankly, Cody Fajardo is probably the athlete that I'm watching the most as one individual athlete right now in 2020 for how he fares. Because there's a lot of pressure on the guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe for you, it's
what? I mean, I look at it a couple of different ways. We got our poll question, but NHL, you know, I brought it up in our pre-show. Patrick Laine. Patrick Laine's got something.
That would be yours.
That would be mine right now. And when it comes to the playoffs, Winnipeg's right in that playoff race. And Laine's been disappointing this season. He's got something to prove. Big time.
Right. So when I lay my head down to sleep at night and I start to think about the show the next day, I usually go, oh, what the hell are we going to talk about? I don't know. And then I'm like, stop thinking about it, start meditating. And pretty soon it's... But I get up in the morning and all of a sudden there's just a flood of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And ESPN triggered this with Tom Brady. It went to points two and three. What does your guy or girl have to prove? Maybe your girl is Serena Williams, who pulled her back in the Canadian Open, CP Open, or lost to the Canadian gal at the U.S. Open. Whatever. Whoever yours is. What do they need to prove in 2020, assuming that we get back to normal, which you know eventually we're going to, right? You know that?
Yeah.
Point four, you're seeing a lot of, and I'll be brief on this, but a lot of, well, I'm seeing anyways, because I follow recovery and self-help accounts, mental health during self-isolation. Michael Phelps came out and spoke about this yesterday. The most decorated Olympian of all time said he's hunkered down at home in Arizona. He's starting to have issues with his own mental health. So that is a topic we could get to. Point five, are you bored? I will just say this. I lost my mind yesterday, and I had to catch myself. But I just found out that there's a lot of people that are suffering from boredom, that are very well off, don't have to worry about money. And let me just say this. In the sports and entertainment field of where I've spent my whole life, it's go, 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 go. It's a 24-hour cycle. Go, 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 go. You don't have time for anything else in your life, but you're... role, your job.
Yep.
Whether you're the quarterback, whether you're the coach, whether you're the, frankly, the anchor, the scout, the reporter, what it's go, 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 go. All of a sudden, boom, the world has stopped. It's day 13 of the world stopping. And people are losing their guff. So I did snap because I'm dealing with people that are having some very serious problems. I've said this on the show a couple of times. Just I've had enough of hearing people cry. Not bad on them, bad on me. I'm tired of all this. And you're bored? So while I did snap, I kind of came back and said, as a recovery coach, we preach patience, love, tolerance, understanding. Why am I snapping? What's making me snap on this? Lack of patience. Patience, love, tolerance, understanding. So while some people are losing their jobs, may never get that job back, and they can't pay their bills, and they might lose their possessions, you're bored. It's still a crisis to that person that's not used to being bored.
Yeah.
Right? It's still a shift in their life that needs to be taken seriously. It really does.
Yeah.
But it can be pretty quickly solved by somebody's got it worse than you.
I could be completely off base. Slap me if I'm...
I'd love to.
But you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, to me, it's not about you never being, you know, impatient or snapping, but how quickly you realized, wait a second, why am I upset here? I got to just have patience.
Yeah.
You know, self-awareness, right? You've got your self-awareness is dialed in to realize, okay, I'm going outside the lines, and you bring it back in. Same thing with the people who are bored, you know, realizing that there's people who have it way worse than you do. The fact that you don't know what to watch on Netflix, it's not really a big deal. There's other things that we can do, right?
10 years ago, I can't even imagine how I'd be dealing with this crisis. No idea. Now I'm trained to deal with it. That's all. I'm trying to help other people. But if you're bored, come on.
People are getting really creative, too, with their abilities to be social. They're doing group chats, you know, playing games with people over top of the internet, you know, through the computer to each other, doing different things. It's kind of fun.
Some people are being very creative, but there are a lot of people that aren't creative, Darren.
Yeah.
They're just not creative people, right? Yeah. So that they're the ones that are struggling. I'm calling up my Twitter here because I didn't put it in my points, but I should have. Point six is the WHL draft lottery is today. Now, look, there's 22 teams in the dub.
Yep.
21 or 22 teams. It's a pretty big deal. I was notified last night by Kevin Galland, who's a regular viewer of this show, former voice of the Regina Pats, Calgary Stampeders, Las Vegas Thunder, San Francisco Spiders. Kevy's kid played against Connor Bedard of Vancouver, who is going to be the number one pick in the WHL draft. He's the first player in Western Canadian history to have been granted exceptional player status. Matthew Savoie didn't even get that.
No.
Connor McDavid did. Is he the next Connor McDavid? Well, hate to put that pressure on the kid, but everybody else is. So last night, he was granted exceptional player status. Connor Bedard, remember the name. And this morning at what, 11 o'clock, Clark? 11 o'clock? WHL draft lottery is this morning. The bingo balls will be pulled.
Yep.
And the Regina Pats, God's team, have a 57% chance of winning the lottery and getting this potential Connor McDavid. Now, any non-playoff teams in the Moose Jaw Warriors will have a chance, right?
Yeah, you can move up as many as two picks. So Clark's going to have to correct me. Is it the bottom three teams? So
I don't want to get into all that.
But Swift Current is the reason that the Pats have their pick, which is pretty exciting for the folks in Regina because the Broncos traded their pick.
Pats Tri-City Moose Jaw, Clark's telling me in my ear. Now, that part I don't all know because I can't stay on top of everything.
But those are the three. You got to make it real simple, right?
Right.
So the Pats, Tri-City, Moose Jaw, they've all got a chance for the number one pick. They're going to pull a ball of any of the six teams that are in the lottery. But you can only move up two spots, so it's the Pats, Tri-City, and Moose Jaw have an opportunity for number one. That's it.
Our sponsor from SAS Snow Beef, Ian Crosby, is watching. He says, every finger's crossed that those pesky Warriors steal the pick. Hey, is our technical producer watching? He said he's the numbers guy. I'm not. What's the combination of the Pats and the Warriors? Put their percentages together. What are they at, 80% that one of those two teams are going to get this guy? That's exciting for people within a 45-mile radius of here.
Oh, yeah.
Really, when you think about it that way.
Very
now, I'll
exciting.
Move on. Now, I understand that not everybody loves junior hockey as much as us. But I know the league, from what Clark said, is very appreciative of the amount of coverage that we give them. So that feels good.
Yeah.
Right? I love it. It's my favorite league, favorite brand of hockey. And I will say one other thing. These junior players and Olympic hopefuls. I'm hearing a lot of these Olympic hopefuls. This was their last run at it. They're a little older, you know, mid to late 30s. And their dreams, their Olympic dream that they've worked so hard is probably over. This is their shot. I get that. That totally sucks. And a lot of graduating seniors, NCAA, all that stuff. So ESPN starting a trending thing to honor them on social media with a hashtag. And Ian from SAS Snow Beef has said that. That's why he wanted to change our prospect profile to graduating players to give them the proper send-off.
Yeah.
It does suck. You put yourself in the mind of a 20-year-old hockey player or this 30-something U.S. Olympian who she's trained for so long. I'm not sure there's any way to get over it, but you can help in that way. So I like that that's what entities are doing to honor those.
I do, because you work so hard for your opportunity and then it passes you by. You even think about the guys who come in here, I mean, on the junior hockey circuit who have won Western Hockey League championships or have won junior titles or have won Memorial Cups and the memories and the stories that they tell, and it's great. It's a whole group of kids who don't get that opportunity this year. Teams who had good teams. Same thing with Olympians. When they, you know, talk about your Olympic dream, you might never get another opportunity to go back to the Olympics. So missing out on it is tough, but you got to keep your head up. And you know, it's hopeful that it'll continue next year and a good portion of those athletes will still be at the top of their craft next year. But for the ones that don't, I like that they're getting some recognition.
So I want to say, because we're going to break and bring the commish on shortly, Garrick Jones from Houston, going to be the next GM of the Texans. A couple things. One, this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. And I had told Trent Dickin that we were going to get new flooring from Carpet Super, or what used to be Carpet Superstore, now Flooring Superstore, here in 2020. This was before the soup hit the fan.
Yeah.
So, Trent, can I get it now? Like I was saying to my wife, maybe we should, maybe now would be the time. Would now be the time, or is now not the time? Like it's...
Right. Now the time.
Is now the time or now not the time?
Well, I know my brother's been building a house for the better part of the last year, and they're taking this opportunity to really get stuff done.
That's what I'm saying.
So
I guess as far as social distancing, now's not the time. I get that. But when would be a good time, Trent, to try and stimulate the economy? Because we're going to be getting new flooring, our entire second floor of our house from Flooring Superstore. I'd like just like to know when. So our poll question, who has the most to prove in the NFL in 2020? Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Todd Gurley, or Bill Belichick? Those are the four options. The four of us that are involved in the show today had to throw one name out, and this is what we came up with. Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Todd Gurley, or Bill Belichick. Who do you think's leading?
Belichick. Ooh.
34% say Cam Newton, if you can believe. 33% say Tom. Yeah. Now, this poll's only been up for 28 minutes. I expect that to change. Our next guest, Garrick Jones, who started a petition to be the next general manager of the Houston Texans, might say that somebody with the Houston Texans has the most to prove in 2020. But that's our poll for Capital Auto Mall. And I'll also say this. We'll find things to talk about, and we'll find good things to talk about. I do remember back in the day, back when we used to have go back and forth with the writers on what the message was going to be and what I was going to talk about on the show. And I'm like, give me something to talk about, guys, because they were reluctant to give me anything to talk about. And they said, well, I don't know, it's Monday. Well, we don't know if Tino Sinceri is going to be the second or third string quarterback this week. It had to do with injuries. And I said, perfect, I'll take it. They're like, you're going to spend 2.5 hours talking about whether Tino Sinceri is the second or third quarterback? I'm like, leave that to me. And we did it. And it was a great show. So we'll always find something.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll always find something good. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and we're going to Houston next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-backed-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Just realizing I was remiss in sharing the show. I would love if you did it, too. If you're watching right now on Facebook Live, just go down to the bottom of your screen and hit share. If you like the show, that is, and send it out to all your friends. We got a sports update coming up. A bit of a teaser on that. What do you think it's going to cost? What do you think the cost of delaying the Olympics by a year is?
Ooh.
What do you think the price tag is on that?
$1 billion. Higher?
Hang on. I'm going to tell you. Coming up on the sports update for Ballers Rec Room and Red Bull Canada. Garrick Jones, affectionately nicknamed the Commish by his teammates, played in the National Football League with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans, Atlanta Falcons, and in the Canadian Football League with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Calgary Stampeders, and Edmonton Eskimos. He's become a good friend of ours, and he started a petition to become the next general manager of the NFL's Houston Texans, and he joins us from H-Town, today. How you doing, Commish?
I'm good. How you guys holding up?
We're good. Thanks for the question, by the way. How are things going over in Houston? Not like you guys haven't had your tragedies over the years and crises.
Man, it's different. You know, everybody's having to make adjustments, you know, as far as staying in the house and staying out of the way. So it's one of those deals where, man, we're going to be resilient in it and get it done so we can get back to work, man.
Well, okay. So I've told our viewers what your deal is, your petition to become the next general manager of the Houston Texans. Before we talk about that, what is wrong with the Texans, Garrick? What's wrong with them?
I think we've lost sight of the main thing. I think we have a lot of people in the organization that are out for self, and it's not about teamwork anymore. You know, it's about, you know, agendas and tenures and those types of things like that. And we need to get away from becoming a stepping stone to something greater. Because what happens is, and what has happened in the past, is anybody that has come to Houston, whenever they leave, they go and win a Super Bowl. And that's not good, because now you become a stepping stone to bigger and better things. And I think we've adapted to that mentality. When people come to town, and that's coaches, that's general managers, that's whoever. And the city deserves better, you know?
Oh, boy, you're flooding my mind. We've seen franchises like that before, and that is a fundamental problem for sure. Now, the question for me is your movement. Let's get into that, to be the next GM of the Houston Texans. How's it going?
It's going good, man. We're picking up some steam. I mean, it just makes sense, you know, because I played, you know, with the organization, had the opportunity to get to know Mr. McNair, and he gave me my opportunity. And understood where my mindset was when it came down to, you know, building something that's going to outlive you. And I wasn't just a player, and he understood that. And I think that was one of the things that I admired about him, is because, you know, he actually would talk to me. And there was that type of connection when I had been with other organizations, and I never really talked with the general managers. It was kind of a disconnect. And I felt that level of closeness there, even though I had went to other teams. I made it my point to make it back to Houston, you know, because of a conversation that we had at one point. But ultimately, you know, talking to some of my teammates and a few other people that say, hey, man, you know, this just makes sense. I mean, this is a space you come from. This is something that you've been cultivating, you know, all these years. I believe that you could bridge the gap to where now we can get these fans back involved, because the fans right now, they're not in a good space. The players as well. I mean, that locker room, I believe, from being a player and understanding the dynamics of it, that locker room isn't in a good place as well. So it just made sense, man. It's time to try to stop this bleeding and really look at the aspect of bringing the Super Bowl to Houston.
Garrick, yeah, I love that. And when we were there in Houston, I mean, we see just how great the community is, that experience with the tailgate and everything else. It's awesome. So right, this is kind of like a job. It's kind of like a job interview here. So if we close our eyes and we say it's 5 years from now, Garrick Jones is the GM of the Texans. What type of a team, what type of an organization are we looking at?
We're going to have an organization that understands the main thing. It's all about teamwork. If I'm in a position that I'm not adding value to what our equation is, I'm subtracting from it. So everybody has to have that identity. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's about the communication. It's like a relationship, man. It's like a marriage. If something is going wrong, we need to figure out what the deal is and get it rectified, so that way we can make this history that other people read about. This isn't hard. We tend to make things hard. We tend to get in the way, and we want to have everybody in a position where they have a vested interest in what we're doing and they have a voice. Right now, the fans don't have a voice, and they are really putting their voice out there in a major way that will reflect ticket sales and all those different things right now. There's a ton of petitions out there right now that these people are upset, and they don't feel like that they're a part of anything that's going on. So ultimately, I'm there to bridge that gap. And if this is a job interview, I'm the man for the job, period, point blank. It's time. It's time for it to happen.
Well, I love that. And culture is number one in any organization. I think that's key. So we know that your Texans would have a great O-line. That would probably be a priority, I'm sure. What would be what's your second priority past the O-line?
I think headed over to the defensive aspect of it. Of course, you know, the guys up front make it go. You got to give everybody time. You got to be able to get to the quarterback when it's time to do that. We'd be fast. But at the same time, everybody would be there for the same thing. A lot of times in a lot of locker rooms that I've been in, you had guys that were mercenaries. They were just there for the check. And you can't win. And you go back to culture. That's what it's about. Everybody has to buy in order to benefit. Everybody has to buy in. So we would have a team that would be completely vested and bought in. And what I mean by that is, with the team itself, I would make sure that these athletes are able to focus on the game and get rid of all the distractions. And what that means is making sure that when they are done playing, they're going to have an opportunity to take care of their families for life. And when guys understand that you're thinking about them after the game and after the lights, that allows them to really free themselves up and go and be fast and play fast. I mean, when I came in, everything was okay. I got to keep this job, X's and O's. I got to keep this job, X's and O's. When teams were bringing guys in to replace you each and every week, we got to get away from that. We got to show them, hey, look, we're here for you. We're here to help you and help your families. So now you can go out and increase our bottom line. And when the players are in a good headspace, that means that upper management is in a great headspace. The people that are there working, your groundskeepers, everybody understands that we're here in this thing together. And that's what it's about.
Two last questions for you, Garrick. One's from a viewer. I'll get to that in a second. But when you were on our show in December, Henry Burris just went, "The commish!" I could see how would get along really well. Is Hank the only one that calls you commish, or is that your universal nickname? And if so, why?
I think it's universal now. because when I played, everybody understood my mindset. You know, I was always thinking outside of the box. It was always bigger than the game with me. And it has to be. It has to be bigger than X's and O's, because you'll spend more time as a retired athlete than you will actually playing the game. So I understood that. I understood that from the gate coming into it and coming into professional sports, because of how I had to make it to the NFL, how I didn't have a senior season of college, how I had to travel across the country to really prove to these scouts that I could be the one, and I was a professional without being paid to be so. So a lot of these athletes saw it, and they saw that I was on my hustle. I always tell people that professional ball was my side hustle. You know, everything else that I did was for this moment right now. And that's really what I cultivated in the culture that everybody knows me as. They understand that I'm about business and making sure that we're going to be okay. And that would be the same attitude and mentality that I bring to the table with the Texans.
So from our viewer, Randy is watching in Cochrane, Alberta. You probably know where that is, having played for the Stamps. He wants to know if the Patriots will be acquiring Deshaun Watson from your Houston Texans. Because that's a talk.
It is. And that's what I'm seeing. And I mean, it's just talk right now. Unfortunately, Deshaun is in a rough patch. He's in a rough spot right now. And Bill O'Brien has put him there. Unfortunately, you know, Deshaun has done a lot for the city. I mean, he's kept the city thriving. You know, he's one of those guys. He's special. He's a Michael Jordan type of guy. So a lot of teams want it. And we have to get back to a point where he understands that Houston is here for him. Houston has his back, and that's why I threw my name in the hat when, you know, the situation with Hopkins went down, Reader, Jay Joseph, all those guys are cornerstones of the organization. And what has to happen is you have to make sure that you keep those guys there for a guy like Watson, because he's young. And he has to know that team is there for him. I mean, he's bailed O'Brien out a lot, unfortunately. And for him to go to bat publicly for O'Brien, and now for him to start pulling weapons away from him, you know, that has the kid in a bad headspace. So we'll see how that plays out. But ultimately, you know, the Patriots, any team would want it. I mean, all of them, if they can get them, the Patriots would be a good spot. But, you know, if I had it my way, I'm going to keep him here. And that's what I want him to understand is, and I shot a message to him and said, hey, look, just hang tough. You know, we're working on some things, trying to make sure that you understand that we love you, bro. We love everything about you, and we want to make sure that this organization is set up for you to thrive and win. So that's what I would say to that, man. I know Bill wants him, Belichick, anybody would want him, but we want to keep him here.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the kind of GM I would want. Of my team, Garrick. So just as we let you go, you're available on all social media channels. Give this guy a follow. And you've got a Facebook group for the petition, right?
Yeah. It's Garrick Jones for General Manager. That's on Facebook. I mean, you can Google me. You can find pretty much anything you want to find on me. I'm not hard to find, man. We're here to try to make this thing happen. We're here to try to correct this ship, put it back on the right track. And you know, everything that I've done with the state's Developmental Football League in regards to financial literacy, entrepreneurship, business management, all those different things, branding, is what I want to bring to the organization of the Houston Texans. So now everybody's in a good place, and we changed the narrative from the team all the way down to the groundskeepers and the fans. Everybody's going to benefit from it, and we're going to have a good time bringing the Super Bowl here, man. It's time to get it.
All right, everybody, follow this man. Garrick, thanks for the time. Sir. Keep in touch.
Appreciate you. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Garrick Jones joining us from Houston, Texas. And I'm hoping the next general manager of the Houston Texans. And he's trying to make it happen. You just seem blown away by those comments at the end.
That's great. Did he say he actually texted Deshaun Watson?
I don't doubt it. He's the president of the alumni. No, he's the president of the Alumni Association in Houston. He has to.
Yeah.
He's very close to the team. Wouldn't surprise me if he had his number.
That's cool.
My mind was flooded with thoughts. I know that we've got a national program now. Our viewers are literally coast to coast in a lot of the states, but I'm going back to my 20 years with the Rough Riders, and as much as I do really love Roy Shivers and Danny Barrett, more Danny than Roy, but I got affection from both. That was sort of the affliction of the franchise in that era. Not everybody pulling on the rope at the same time. You knew that you had the pieces there. What's missing? And there was something missing, because in those seven seasons, they never made it to the Grey Cup. And then some changes are made. Jim Hobson comes in. You know, there's a book there in how that changed and what happened. And that's exactly where the Houston Texans are in terms of what Garrick's talking about. They got the talent. Obviously. And you know what? From the flip side of the guys that are currently with that organization, when you sit in Energy Stadium and you look up on the rafters, you see all the banners from the division championships, or pennants, really.
Right.
They won a playoff game last year at home against the Bills. They're like, we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem. Because that's what the people on the other side of the argument say.
Yeah.
Look at all the banners. Well, you didn't win jack squat. And that's what Garrick's talking about. So, isn't this fascinating stuff?
It is super fascinating. And it's true. There is a lot of banners up there. They've had, you know, good teams.
But getting over the hump.
But they've never been able to get over the hump. That's exactly it. And at some point, what's the wall? What's limiting you? Culture, those types of things. And Garrick, that's why he wasn't really focused on a quarterback, running back, receiver. He's like, no, culture. From the groundskeepers to the front office, culture's got to change. That's big stuff.
And what did we talk about in the Roy and Danny era? We can't get over the hump. We can't get over the hump. What is it? Just to talk about it all the time, internally, externally. If you go and talk to any of the guys from that era, the Andrew Greens, the Gene Mikowskis, the Chris Zarkas, the Burruses, they've all been on this show or in this bunker. They all have a different opinion, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it still has to be set from the top. Doesn't matter what the foot soldiers are saying. It really doesn't. It needs to come from the top.
Yep.
And that's what changed. But, hey, Phil Kershaw's watching, by the way. Former president of both the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Ottawa Rough Riders and chairman of the CFL Board of Governors. He's watching. He says, great Rice Owl sweater. Thank you, Phil. This came from our trip to Houston. And from his son, Mike, who's the receivers coach with the Rice Owls football program. I don't want to break, but we have to. I guess it was a sports update, right?
Yeah.
I just love talking to Garrick Jones, man. Doesn't he make you want to run through a wall?
He does.
He just does. I'm just buzzing right now with the kamoosh. Sports update. With the Tokyo Olympics postponed until 2021, now comes the multi-billion dollar question. Who pays the bills for the delay, and how large will they be? The most likely answer is primarily Japanese taxpayers. The Japanese financial newspaper Nikkei put the added cost, Darren, at $2.7 billion. Ooh. That's the cost for delaying the Olympics by 1 year. Wow. $2.7 billion. See why they didn't want to do it?
Yeah.
Tokyo organizers will have to renegotiate new leases on venues, pay for maintenance at arenas, and maybe find different fields of play. They will also have to deal with real estate developers who are already selling off thousands of apartments at what will be the athletes' village. The organizing committee also employs 3,500 staff members, and some may lose their jobs to cost-cutting. The Continental Hockey League has given up on trying to reschedule its playoffs and canceled the remainder of the season. The Russia-based KHL is widely considered to be the strongest league outside the NHL. It was due to play its conference semifinals when play was suspended because of the coronavirus outbreak. Teams from Finland and Kazakhstan withdrew because of travel and safety concerns. That left the league with six teams in an eight-team bracket. The KHL tried to draw up a new playoff system and considered resuming in June and July, but has now decided to just scrap it and start preparing for 2020-21. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. They and their partner restaurant and bar, The Tap, both closed temporarily. For the time being, The Tap's liquor store, however, still open, not the kitchen. And for Red Bull Canada, thanks to Red Bull Canada for jumping on board the RP show. Watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make an appearance at some of the Rod Peterson Show on-location events this summer. Red Bull has launched a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws Superstore and No Frills. So we got lots of topics on the table. And this Olympic thing, Arash Madani all over it. He's covered several Olympics. He will join us next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Just ahead of Arash Madani, a couple messages have come in on the Prairie Mobile text line. 306-840-8777 is the number to reach us. 840-8777. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. Wait, that's when they reopen, right? Yeah. But they're sticking with us and we're sticking with them. From Brady, he says, Bill Belichick is still in the hot seat this season. Can he still be an amazing coach and coach his team to victories, or will his team take a plummet? That's from Brady, watching from Saskatoon. Leonard writes in, and from the 536, he says, when all this is over, should we ban football players from spitting on the field? They should spit in a bag or in the garbage on the sidelines. Stadium workers have been after them to do that since the dawn of stadiums. So we'll see. Let's go to Arash Madani now. Very opinionated, as he always is, on Canada's decision at the Olympics. And he joins us today from his home in Toronto. How you doing, Arash?
I'm doing great, Roddy. How you guys doing?
Good. We're doing well, thank you. And very grateful to be able to continue this program through all of this. How's your life been affected, if you don't mind me asking, through the pandemic?
Well, I was down in Florida for spring training, and I was in the U.S. A little bit afterwards, so I went into a little bit of a quarantine for a couple of weeks, and thankfully, knock on wood, no symptoms or anything like that. So I've been catching up on a lot of reading, emptying the PBR, watching some shows and documentaries, and then the last few days, well, first with the Brady announcement that he was leaving New England, but especially the last couple of days with the Olympic stuff going on, things have really ramped up from the home studio.
What's your take on the Olympic decision by the COC to be the first nation to pull out of Tokyo? Do you think it triggered the decision to postpone it by a year?
No, I don't think it triggered the IOC's decision. I mean, that's a $25 billion decision that ultimately, you know, I think once they looked at what is happening in the world, they realized they had no choice. This is something they didn't want to do. I heard you before the break. It's going to cost them another $3 billion to extend this runway by another year. And really the economic, and that's just the Tokyo 2020 organizers. That has nothing to do with the rest of the Olympic movement. There were billions and billions of dollars on the line, which is why they didn't want to do it. The move by the COC showed leadership. It showed conviction. And it showed their commitment to listening to the science, which is all very important and something that you need. And it takes some courage to be the first to do it. And then Australia followed suit, and Australia suggested 2021 was on the horizon. Then we heard from the Brazilians and the Slovenians and the Norwegians. I applaud the COC. They obviously took some consideration from the medical and the science people, but they also involved the athletes. They have an athlete commission. Rosie McLennan, the two-time defending gold medalist in trampolining, is on it, and I spoke with her the other day. They took their perspective on it too, which is really significant.
A theme in this interview, this conversation, will be the approaches. So you applaud the COC. How do you feel about the NFL's full steam ahead approach here? I mean, they're able to, I think, more than the other leagues, and also the CFL's approach as well. How do you feel about this?
Well, I don't know what the CFL's approach is, Rod, to be quite honest with you. I mean, they postponed the global combine and canceled it, and I don't know what else they've really done so far. They're kind of in hold mode, wait-and-see mode, to see how all this goes. I'm not surprised that the NFL is trying to flex its muscles and be the bully and be the, you know, the strong guy in the room, especially, but where this is now – nice graphic, by the way, guys. That's great. Where rubber meets the road here is that the general managers, Adam Schefter and Diana Russini reported this last night, that the general managers unanimously voted to postpone the draft because they're not going to get the athletes in-house to do any kind of physical and any kind of one-on-one meeting, but more importantly on the medical side. If you're about to invest a first-round draft pick into a kid, you want to make sure that your doctors get with him. You know, Tua is going to be the top three, top five pick, but the biggest question, it's not about his talent where the questions are, it's about his hit, what happens there. And as you know, Roddy, it doesn't matter what draft it is, NFL, NHL, CFL, WHL, you may get a call when you're on the clock with 2 minutes to go, and you can have all your people in the room, and somebody's going to be on the phone with the league office, and somebody's going to be on the phone with the other team, and there are going to be a few people checking up their reports on them. Can you do that remotely in 100?
Oh, boy. Hopefully that comes back. Yeah. Okay, well, back to Arash. Sorry, you broke up right when you said, "Do you go off them?"
Yeah, and you're just talking about the draft.
Yep.
Yeah, just talking about the draft is that, look, you get a call with 2 minutes on the clock from another team. Doesn't matter what league you're in, NFL, CFL, WHL, whatever. And suddenly they say, hey, we want to move up. We want to get your pick. Or do you want this player? In 2 minutes, can you assemble remotely the way you would in person? And there's a lot of unknowns here and a lot, you know, legacies and jobs and careers are dictated on draft picks. If you hit, if you draft Peyton Manning one, they build a new stadium, they build a statue, and you go into the Hall of Fame. If you draft Ryan Leaf two, you don't work in the NFL again. So this is the difference between hitting and missing, and the GMs are saying, hold on, we need to make sure that all of our due diligence is done here, and under the present circumstances of fully unknown, we can't go about it.
That is a very good point. Do you want to chime in there?
That's a huge point. Who do you see coming out on top of this, Arash? I mean, the league or the GMs and the owners?
Well, the owners haven't weighed in. This was a general manager recommendation. I mean, now it's about the GMs have to go to their owners and say, look, you guys are the boss of Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell has 32 bosses. It's the 32 owners. So it's a matter of, can the GM sway their individual owners to all then unanimously tell Roger Goodell, we're not going to do this? But then becomes the question, okay, well, when? When are you going to have your draft? How is the draft going to go? When are OTAs? When are mini camps? When's training camp? When's the season? Guys, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face, but the answer to the question is, we don't know. Nobody knows. So the IOC kicked the can down the road for another year and said, you know, we're going to host the Olympics in Tokyo no later than 2021. But the fact of the matter is, I just got off a conference call with Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins. Major League Baseball doesn't know how and when and if the season is going to proceed. And if it does, what the schedule is going to look like. And every league is in the same boat right now.
Are you as fascinated by the Brady Belichick Tampa Bay thing as I am? You kind of opened up talking about that. That was the biggest thing in the news here, certainly last week. And Tom met with the media yesterday via conference call in Tampa Bay. Our question, our poll question today, is who's got the most pressure on him this year? Belichick, Brady, what else did we say? Todd Gurley
and
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Just your take on that whole segment, because we have the time.
Yeah, sure we do. I don't know where Cam's going to play. Do you?
No.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's two things. One, I think the biggest pressure is going to be on Brady. Bill Belichick, that roster in New England is just abysmal. And that's part of the reason why the Belichick-Brady divide cracked the way it did. Let's remember something, guys. We really shouldn't be surprised that the divorce happened the way it did, and that it did, with Belichick and Brady. Let's look at New England's history during the Belichick era. Lawyer Malloy, Drew Bledsoe, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Richard Seymour, Willie McGinnis, Logan Mankins, Matt Light, Vince Wilfork. We're talking about Pro Bowlers, All Pros, franchise pillars, guys who were instrumental in that franchise winning all those rings. Randy Moss, first ballot Hall of Famer. They were all dispatched out the door. It was an ugly, it was unemotional, it was transactional. Why was it going to be different for 43-year-old Tom Brady?
Yes.
Why? Right?
It wasn't, but well, okay, continue. Sorry. It was a rhetorical question. I thought you wanted an answer. Continue.
Right. And so when you look at this Patriots roster presently, on the offensive side of the ball, skill-wise, you have Julian Edelman and, you know, after Gronk retired, Brady went through whatever they just went through this season, lunged to the finish line to barely outlast Buffalo to win the division, and he had no weapons to work with. Belichick continued to deal with him the same way he did when he was a first, second, third-year player. They weren't making any kind of commitment to him financially beyond year to year. And Brady said, I don't need this anymore. And the Patriots seemed okay with it. Belichick seemed fine with it. And remember, guys, 2014, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. It appeared to be the heir apparent. It took Robert Kraft stepping in for Jimmy to not take over for Tom, and then they sent him off to San Francisco for a second-round pick. Belichick then started saying, we know Tom's age, we know Tom's contract situation, which in Belichickian terms is unheard of to speak that way. And then Deflategate happens, and Belichick says, well, I don't touch the footballs, you'll have to talk to Tom about that, fully throwing him under the bus. If you looked at the warning signs that have been going on now for 5 and 6 years, they're all right there. If you look at how the Patriots have operated as an organization with their transactions, with their star players, with their legends, this has been going on since day one with Bill. But here's the thing about New England. Amidst all this, they either won championships, got to a Super Bowl. You know, in the last four years, they have been to three and won two. And as you know, Roddy, winning hides a lot of things. And so that's why it took this happening to bubble to the surface, and that's why we are where we are.
Isn't this fun?
No, it's great. It's great theater, isn't it?
Oh, no, I mean, being able to talk like this. I mean, when you're doing your little, you know, hits on Sportsnet, you don't get to get into that stuff. This is so much fun.
I feel like I'm going to get the fork and the steak knife and a big hunk of meat, and we're just going to dig right in there and get all the blood.
Thank
and the
you.
splattering all over the place.
Exactly. Listen, I'll let you go. We'll pick it up from here, but I appreciate it. And stay safe, my man. You know we're following closely.
You too,
so so good to hear from you.
See, Bill Kershaw was listening.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is the 2004 or 5. I don't know which one. Either the... Pascal Strong's autograph is on this. This is the 2005 Ottawa Renegades helmet. The last year in its existence, you see, boom, right here, autograph of your main man, Kerry Joseph.
Wow, I recognize it.
That is on the locker cleanout day. I was the PR guy for the franchise at the time. I walked around with a helmet and a silver pen, silver Sharpie, and I asked each of the guys to sign it. Having an inkling that it could be the last time ever. There's Yo Murphy's autograph right
How
there.
How about Mike Abou-Meshrick? Do you see Abou's on there anywhere?
Abou was, I think, in Winnipeg in 05 by then. There is Jason Armstead.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Who was the running back? Number 9?
Josh Ronick, I believe, was the running back.
That's it.
Little ball of hate.
Yep.
That's right. That's awesome, man. But my memory on that is you and me meeting in Ottawa, going to Crawdaddy's and having a big old time. Anyways, continue.
Sure. There's Ronick right there. Daryl Davis is with us. There's, am I allowed to say that name? You're not dealing with the other guys anymore. So I can.
You're good.
There's Joe Pau, coach.
Wow.
The late Richard Harris. Richard Harris, the defensive line coach. And I actually have his Winnipeg Blue Bombers nameplate that Brad Foddy, the great the great equipment manager, the Bomber sent. So I heard you mention Phil Kershaw's name, and I took this down from the, look at that, the Renegades.
Well, I tell you what, he is one of our biggest supporters. His son's with Rice. That's where I got the pullover, and life is good, my man. It's nice to pull everybody together, and, you know, those CFL names, man. Doesn't it just jar stuff in your head when you hear, like, Phil Kershaw, all of a sudden your mind goes to cool things?
Sure. And some of the names and the characters and the stories. It's funny. Mike Sutherland's name is on there. Gerald Vaughn. I don't know. To me, there's an argument that Gerald Vaughn belongs in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. But Sudsy's working for the Ottawa Redblacks now in their front office. And anytime I see him at a Grey Cup or any conversation, always goes back to those days. And Roddy, maybe one day we can have an Ottawa Renegade segment, and I will tell you stories that I will promise you are true, and you won't believe a word I say.
I have a feeling we're going to have lots of time, so
yeah.
let's do it soon. And I appreciate this, man, as always.
All right, fellas.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani from his downtown Toronto apartment hooking up. And speaking of guys on the Good Guy Network, Arash will like this. Ryan Leslie joining us in hour two from Sportsnet Flames broadcast. He's got some stories too. So we do have to break for hour one. How are we doing on time here? Oh, we're right on the snout. We got to take a break. In hour two, we've got Ryan Leslie, as I mentioned, from Sportsnet Flames, and also Brad Hursina from the Canadian Armed Forces. You're not going to want to miss that right here in the bunker. Brad Hursina from the Army. It's the Rod Peterson Show. You're watching on Facebook Live. Coming soon to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.